Jewish audio on Chabad.org.
Hashem, we are learning Bava Metzia, Daf Noyach, Daf Nun Ches. We left off on Daf Nun Zayin Amid Beis, two lines before the bottom of the Amid. The Gemara is referring back to the Mishnah, Shomer Chinam Einoy Nishba. In other words, normally a Shomer Chinam, even though he's exempt, not only by an Oynes, but he's exempt by Grave of Aveda, but he has to swear that he was not negligent. So the Mishnah taught us that a Shomer Chinam doesn't have to take an oath, and a Shomer Sachar, who normally is chayv on Ganeva Vaveda, by the Beis HaMikdash, as we just learned in the previous suge, there's miyutim, and he's not even chayv on Ganeva Vaveda. So asks the Gemara, are you telling me that a Shomer Sachar is not chayv on Ganeva Vaveda? Vireminu. And are you telling me that a Shomer Chinam ain't a Nishba? Avaka Avakash. And we're quoting now a Mishnah. A Mishnah in Shkolim. Now we learned Shkolim already a while ago. So quickly reviewing the dinim of Shkolim, that all of the Yidden have a positive mitzvah to give a half a shekel a year to the expense of the communal korbanos that have to be brought on behalf of the entire Jewish people. This money was collected in the month of Adar. In every city there was a what we will call a pushka, that was called a shofar. Really, there's a machlekes rishonim, whether there were shofars in all the city, whether you had these shofars only in Yerushalayim, but money was deposited into the shofars. Ultimately, these monies needed to make their ways into a special chamber in the Beis HaMikdash called the Lishka, where all of the shkolim of that year were put into the Lishka. From the Lishka, something needed to happen three times a year that is called Trumas HaLishka, which means that the kohen went in there and he had kupois. And we learned this in Rambam, when we learned in Rambam, that on every kupa there was a letter. Aleph, Beis, and Gimel. And I think it's 2 weeks before all of the three Yomim Tovim, that means 2 weeks before Pesach, Shchedesh Nissen, 2 weeks before Shavuos, and 2 weeks before Sukkos, he entered the Lishka, and he took a truma from the Lishka, that means he took a separation off the Lishka into these kupais. From that period until the next Yontif, the money that was needed was taken from these kupais. Then again, 2 weeks before the next Yontif, he went again into the chamber and he took Trumas HaLishka into the kupais. Now, what happens if someone sent money to the Beis HaMikdash, but it didn't get there before the Trumas HaLishka? We don't say that they're not included in the Korbanos Tzibur. And not only that, we'll learn soon that when the Kahanim went in there to take Trumas HaLishka, not only did they take it from the money that was there, they took it from the money that's making its way there, and they took it, the money, from people who did not even give it yet. But whoever gave money during the year, so to say, is included in the Trumas HaLishka. However, what happened, says the Mishnah, B'nei Ha'ir, you have a whole city, right, they had the money, let's go, in the Shofar of their city, and Sheshalchu Eshekleim, and in the Havamina, we're learning that they sent it with a Shomer Chinam. Okay? Now, they sent the money with him. V'nignavu Eshavdu. And he never made it to Yerushalayim. Either it was stolen from him, or he was sleeping, someone chapped it, or it got lost. Now, what is the din of a Shomer Chinam? Let's put aside the din that we had in our Mishnah, that a Shomer Chinam, by Hegdash, doesn't have to take an oath. Let's put that aside. Normally, a Shomer Chinam has to swear. To whom does he swear? Whom do you swear against? To the person who's your claimant. So normally, if I am the Shomer, for you, you're the Mafkid, I'm the Shomer. If I claim it got lost, I have to swear to the Mafkid. Who is the Mafkid? Who is the Baldover of the Shliach? So we have to know one thing. If the people became aware that the money was lost or stolen before the Kohen did the first Trumas HaLishka, means they knew that their money is never going to make it there, they are obligated to give another half a shekel. So they're the claimant. They lose out. Even if it was stolen or lost before the Truma happened, but the B'nai Ha'ir only became aware later, since B'shas the Truma happened, they thought they were Yoytze the Mitzvah, it's not their loss. All of the korbanos of the year is taka brought for them. You know who loses? The Beis HaMikdash loses. So says the Mishnah, im mishen nitremu truma. In other words, if they only found out that it was stolen after the truma was taken, which means that when the Trumas Halishka happened, they thought that their money is still on the way to the Beis HaMikdash, and there the din is, they never have to compensate. So they're not even a claimant. They don't have to give the money again. Who are the losers, so to say? The Beis HaMikdash. So says Daf Nun Ches, so to for whom does the Shomer, the Havamina, Shomer Chinam, to whom does he have to swear? To the claimant. Who's the claimant? The Beis HaMikdash. So Nishbayim LeGizbarim. They have to swear to the Gizbar. However, V'imlav. V'imlav means that they became aware before the Truma happened, the Bnei Ho'ir. Even though it's not their fault, the din is that if they knew that the money that they sent is stolen or lost, before the first Truma, they're Mechoyev to give another half a shekel. Now, if they have to give another half a shekel, who's the claimant against the Shliach? The Bnei Ho'ir. So says the Mishnah, Nishbayim Levnei Ho'ir. And again, L'chura, what do they swear? They swear that we were not negligent. That's the Havamina. They make the normal Shuas HaShoimrim. And then says the Mishnah, Ubnei Ho'ir, Shoik Lemacherim Tachtem, Bnei Ho'ir have to give another half a shekel. And the Mishnah says, what happens if Nimtza'u, what happens if after they gave another half a shekel, you found the lost shkalim, or if it was stolen, the ganovim de tshuva, she'echzirum haganovim, says the Mishnah, elu ve'elu shkalim heim, they are both used for the shkalim of that year. In other words, and the Bnei Ho'ir don't even get credit. The Bnei Ho'ir cannot say, well, we gave a half a shekel, then we gave another half a shekel, let the half a shekel already be credit for next year. Says the Mishnah, no, ve'ein oilu l'mashan abo. Bnei Ho'ir is pashut. Like we live, let's say the Beis HaMikdash is built now, or the whole Los Angeles, every year is going to give a half a shekel, and then we send it in a shliach to take it to the Beis HaMikdash. The shliach was the courier that was taking the money of a certain city. Everyone that lives there in Lud, they gave the money to a shliach. The Havamina now is a shomer chinam, and they told the shomer chinam, go give it to the Beis HaMikdash.
Everyone.
That's the key is, if it gets stolen or lost, that's the nekuda. If they are not aware of it, b'shas the trumas halishka, then they're not mechoyev to give again. Now, all of this Mishnah is predicated that a shomer chinam has to take an oath. The only question is, to whom? Who's the claimant? So Akasha in our Mishnah says that b'chlal a shomer chinam doesn't take an oath at all. Answer Shmuel, Hach Shmuel, it must be that the Mishnah in Shkalim is b'naisa sachar askinon. That we're not speaking about a shomer chinam. We're speaking about a shomer sachar. And 1 second, but we also learned, we just spoke this out in the beginning of now, this year, that the Mishnah, when the Mishnah says that a shomer sachar is pater and ganeva v'aveda, not only is he pater, he also doesn't have to take that oath. So what did you accomplish by saying that he's a shomer sachar? Explain Shmuel. That we're not speaking about the shomer sachar swearing for him, for the shomer not to be chayv to compensate. The shomer who claims ganeva v'aveda doesn't have to give that money from his pocket. What is the shvuah about? He wants to get paid. And by the way, the Gemara is going to ask in a moment, how can he even demand payment? Even if it's not his fault, but you didn't do what you said you're going to do. We're going to get to that in a moment. Here, he wants to get his payment. V'nishboyim litl scharan. It's a whole different type of oath. He wants to get paid. Now, who's paying him? No. The Gizbar never pays the Shliach. Who's the only claimant? The Bnei Ho'ir. So now the question is, if you are teaching that the Mishnah in Shkolim is not speaking about an oath to become potter. First of all, it's speaking about a Shomer Sachar. And not to swear, not even that he was not negligent. He's only swearing to get paid. From whom does he get paid? From the Bnei Ho'ir. So how do you understand the Mishnah? How does the awareness affect anything? The claimant is always the same. There should never be a case where he swears to the Gizbarim, because it's Levnei Ho'ir mi Bayale. So Amar Rabba explaining Shmuel, Nishboim Levnei Ho'ir b'maymet Gizbarim. Ke'echad Eloi nachshidinu. In other words, like this. If the Bnei Ho'ir will have to give another shekel, because they became aware that it was Nignevu v'avdu before the Trumas HaLishka, so the Gizbar doesn't care what happened. They're going to get from that city the half a shekel from every Yid. But the moment they were not aware when the Truma was given, so now the Gizbarim are going to lose out. So when they swear, L'Bnei Ho'ir, that they want to get paid their salary, they have to do it in front of the Gizbarim. So the Gizbarim should not be choshed them that they are the Ganovim, Or worse, inamik eched lo yelikru le poishim. You know, they're going to call them negligent. So when he swears, listen, it was not negligence. And all, someone stole it when I was sleeping, or it got lost in a way that it's not called pshia. It's not called an oinus. Oshemir sacher by hegdish is patir. And the shvua is only like a rabbinic shvua that they shouldn't be choshed him. One second. Asks the Gemara, v'ha, nignavu oisho avduk tanin. Why are they taking an oath? What happened over there? Nignavu, oyavdu v'shaymer sacher b'gneva va'aveda chayuve mechayiv. Normally, not here. Normally, if gneva va'aveda happens from a shaymer sacher, he cannot claim, what do you want from me? It got lost. He has to pay the owner. Now, enachanami over here by hegdish. What did we learn in the Mishnah from the miyutim? That shaymer sacher by hegdish doesn't have to pay. V'hachi nami, even by hegdish nehid shalumi loy mishalme, you were memayit the shomer sachar needing to compensate that article that he lost. Okay, so he doesn't have to compensate, but agrayu miel afsid, let him at least lose his salary. Doesn't make sense. It's bishleim, if an oinus would have happened, then you can go ahead and say, listen, oinus happened, it's not my fault, I went anyway, I want to get paid. But if there is gneva v'aveda, and gneva v'aveda means that had he watched it better, it wouldn't have happened. Which is why a shomer sacher is normally chayiv. So enochanami, he's potter, because the Torah excluded him by hegdeshos. But why chutzpah? He's asking to get paid? So this is the famous Rabbah. We quote this many times. So Amar Rabbah, on our Mishnah, the Mishnah on Shkalim, and we use this in many other cases, that when the Mishnah says the words nignavu, it does not mean what it normally means. Normally you have the category called oinus. Then you have the middle category called Geneva Aveda. Then you have the worst, negligence. Nignivu here means list of mezuyim. List of mezuyim means that it's an oinus. And when armed robbers come to me, God forbid, and they hold me up, there was nothing that I can do to prevent it. Normal Aveda, when I lose something, it's not negligence, but had I been more careful, I wouldn't have lost it. But if I'm making a trip on a boat, on a ship, and the ship sinks, that's nothing I can do to prevent. That's already called an oinus. That avdu means shatav esunosi bayam. And therefore, since it's an oinus, they do have the right to claim compensation. Eloma, they have to swear in order to get their compensation that the oinus happened. And if the Beis HaMikdash are the losing party from the money, then it has to be bifnei hagizbarim, like we spoke out before. Rabbi Yechanan doesn't like this answer, because Shmuel's answer is predicated that the Mishnah in Shkalim is speaking about a shomer sachar, and we want to learn the Mishnah speaking about a shomer chinam. So Rabbi Yechanan says it's speaking about a shomer chinam. What was the kasha? Shomer chinam doesn't have to swear at all by Hegdish. So the Mishnah is discussing who's the claimant, who cares? They don't swear. Answers the Gemara Gevaldik, explains Rabbi Yechanan, Hamani Rab Shimon, the town of the Mishnah Shkalim is Rab Shimon. We learned Rab Shimon. What did Rab Shimon say, the Omar? That even when you have kachim, but if it's a type of kachim, Shechai ba'achri yusan, that the donor, like we spoke out, didn't say harei zu, the donor said harei olai to bring a carbon. Harei olai. Which means that if he designates a carbon, and even if an oinus happened to that carbon, if it didn't make its way to the Beis HaMikdash, since the donor said harei olai, he's not off the hook. He has to bring another one. The Tana Rab Shimon holds, wherever the owner of the carbon is chayv b'achrayis, you can't say that that carbon is only hegdish. It also is property of the owner. He's chayv b'achrayis. And since he's also considered an owner, then a shomer chinam will have to take an oath. When did the Torah exempt a shomer chinam, according to Rab Shimon, only when it's hegdish, to which there's no achrayis? But since, when there is achrayis, which will be the case in Shkalim, kachim shchai b'achrayis in Shlomai oino, and these words we didn't have in our Mishnah, but we have this now in Rabbi Yechanan, and Rab Shimon will hold v'nishbayim aleihem. So it's perfect. And therefore, halkop, since the Shkalim, if they become aware that it was lost, before Truma Salishka happened, they have to give another half a shekel. So that's Pshat Kachin, that the Chayv Bachnayis. Since the Chayv Bachnayis, you have to take an oath. To which the Gemara asks right away, okay, very nice. You only explained why is there an oath in the case where the Bnei Ha'ir have to give another half a shekel. Chotinach, Atchulei Nitnu Matruma. if they became aware before the Terumah was taken. But in the first case, in the Mishnah and Shkalim, which was that they became aware. The Bnei Ha'ir found out, but they only found out after the Terumah Salishka happened. But Mishnah and Terumah, then what did we learn in the Mishnah? They don't have to give another half a shekel. And what did the Mishnah say? They have to swear in front of the Gezbarim. How do you explain that? The Tanya, as we learned, that when the Gizbarim take Truma Salishka, they have in mind also Al Ha'avut. They don't only have in mind that whoever gave money here, from them, we're going to be Makir of the Korbanes. They're giving it for people who gave and the money was lost, but they're not aware. They're giving it on money that was collected but did not make its way yet to Yerushalayim. Not only that, even better, look how beautiful it was, that even if he didn't give it, Bemezit, if he's going to give money anytime during that year, let's say he gives the money before Sukkot, it's not pshat that all of the Korbanis Tzibur from Rosh Chodesh Nissan until Sukkot, he had no involvement in. No. That when they take the Trumas Halishka the first time, they say, Al Ha'asid Ligbois. So by the Kashi is, according to Rabbi Yechanan's understanding that the Mishnah and Shkalim is speaking about a Shomer Chinam, why is there an oath in the first part of the Mishnah? So Ela Amar Rabbi Lazar. Rabbi Lazar agrees with Rabbi Yechanan. Not like Shmuel. It's not about a Shomer Sachar. He's not swearing to get a salary. He's swearing the Shvuas HaShomerim in the Seifa. But I in the Reishot's Kachem Shenachai Bachrayis. That Shvua says Rabbi Lazar. Shvua Zu Takanas Chachamimi. Shelo Yiyu B'nai Yodim Zalzalim Be'ekdeshis. That if the Beis HaMikdash is Taka going to lose out, Eino Chanami, there is a Miut Mido Eirais, a Shomer Chinam doesn't have to take an oath. The Chachamim wanted a Shomer on temple property, you take an oath. Because if not, they were afraid that people are going to be mezalzel behegdish. Like the Noise Sacher says the Mishnah in a Mishalom. Like we said, he doesn't pay on Avadim, Shtorais, Karkois, and Egdeshois. There is no obligation to pay for Gneva Aveda. So Romele Rav Yosef Bar Chama Le Rabom Tanan Noise Sacher in a Mishalom. It says in our Mishnah that Hashem Sacher doesn't pay, right? By Hegdish, this will be the problem. Vidimini Avastira, there's a Braisa. The Braisa says, Hasoicher Sapoyol, if a temple treasurer hired a worker that's with money of Hegdish, that's called a Shomer Sacher. What was he guarding? Either Lishmer Sapara to guard the Paraduma, we know from the Maisa, from Kedushin, the value of a paraduma. And it can become disqualified if anyone just puts a yoke on it once. One oil, ois. If there's a blemish, ois. So they guarded, they paid a person to make sure that the animal remains kosher. Or, lishmer asatinoik. And bekitzer, there was an area, there was a din in the preparation of the paraduma upon which the chachamim were more lenient than the way the tzedukim were wrongfully claiming, and they expressed that leniency by bringing in a certain, in one area, a level of tumah, and then the kohen went to the mikvah, but they did something lohitzi midasat tzedukim. But the moment they brought a certain type of tumah in one step in the preparation of the paraduma, they made many other chumras that no one should think that you can be lenient when you prepare the paraduma. From the many great chumras that they made in the preparation of the paraduma, is that the children that brought, they had children bringing the waters that will be used for the mechatas, to make sure that the waters never become tamei, the people that brought it were children, that their mothers gave birth to them on special platforms that were built on arches, to make sure that even if at any time in history there were someone buried underneath that ground, that platform was halachically in a different domain. And they raised them until they were 7 or 8 years old on these platforms. And then they went on oxen on a way that even if the oxen will walk over a caver, they'll never become tummy. Imagine. And you had guards, lishmona satinik, to make sure that until these children became of that age, that to make sure they never become tummy. And or if they paid a guard, lishmeres hazroyim, Rashi in Taichas, two meanings of zroyim, either in every year, you have to bring a carbon oimer. The carbon oimer, the barley was planted 70 days before Tezayin and Nisan. And people used to guard it. Or furthermore, says Rashi, what happens on the Shemitah year? Don't forget, carbon oimer has to be brought every year. On Shemitah, there were not a lot of plant. So how did Yibachal have new barley? So there's something called svichim or sviach, an aftergrowth. That means that you have a certain percent of produce. If I planted this year, somehow some seeds will remain on the ground and they by themselves will replant themselves, and we call that an aftergrowth. Now, first of all, there isn't that much aftergrowth. V'oid v'hu ha'ikar on the Shemitah year, everyone's property is really hefker l'akol. So that for the Beis HaMikdash to be certain that they will have the quantity of barley needed for the Omer, the quantity of wheat needed for the Shtei HaLechem, they needed to have Shoimrim to tell others, you want to take it, it's Tafka Hefker, it's Shemitah, but the Beis HaMikdash needs this. Please don't take it from here. So if any of these workers, if they were paid per day, so then there's, now we're going to go too quickly to Adin Hilchas Shabbos, Ein Nois Nolei Schar Shabbos. Schar Shabbos means that if you hire a person to do something that is not in violation of Shabbos, Midoraisa, you can pay them after Shabbos. Midrabanan, you can't pay a person to work if you are paying him a daily fee for the day of Shabbos. Because since you're not allowed to make commerce on Shabbos, it looks like you're making business. Now, I know that people today are very lenient in it. The biggest heter that people rely on is called schar havla'a. Like, for example, we have a house cleaner, a maid, and they work on Shabbos also. Right? Sure, Tony works on Shabbos. He doesn't only work for Shabbos. So the moment he gets paid, he doesn't even have to be for a lot. We pay him for something else and for Shabbos. Shabbos is swallowed in something else. He worked 10-hour Shabbos. He worked 2 hours in the week. I'm paying him for 12 hours. Even that's how lenient we are.
Paying him for 2 hours, you're not paying at all for
2 hours. No, we don't do that. No. We don't do that. We're just mavliya, means we swallow the time of Shabbos in something in the week. Now, people are very lenient on it, and actually, in Kan HaMakim, you have many shuls that they hire a Bal Tefillah or a Bal Kaira, and that's something that they only do on Shabbos. So, Bechlal, there are many other leniencies for Schar Shabbos. But there is an Isur Darabanan before the Kulas, before the Hetanim. You can't pay someone if he only worked for Shabbos. Again, even if he's doing work that he's allowed to do. It goes without saying, I cannot pay someone to do something that cannot be done on Shabbos. That the Amir al-Akum, that's a much more strict. We're speaking about Schar Shabbos. So, says the Mishnah, says the Braisa, but if they were paid per day, then they don't get paid for Shabbos. And therefore, says the Braisa, lefikach ein achrai Shabbos olav. In other words, if something happened to the cow on Shabbos, it's a terrible hefset. Someone took the zroim on Shemitah year. It's a terrible thing because it's hard to find the barley. They were not paid. However, says the Braisa, hoya schir Shabbos, if they're getting paid per week. When you get paid per week, like we explained, you can be mavliya Shabbos in the week. Or schir chodesh, if they're paid per month. Schir shana, they're paid for a year. Schir shavua, paid for a 7-year cycle. In all of these cases, then nois nois char Shabbos, then even midrabanan, you're not violating anything by paying them also for Shabbos. And therefore, since they got paid for Shabbos, lefikach, achrai Shabbos olav, they're achroi. Now, 1 second. What are we speaking about? We're speaking about the Beis HaMikdash. We're speaking about a Shomer Sachar. We learned in our Mishnah, a Shomer Sachar is not Chayiv. So what do you? So my lav l'shalim. Are we not speaking about that they have to pay, they have to compensate? So the word says, loy. It means laf tzitzchari, like we learned before. Mamish, like we just learned before. That even though in the Hegdash there is a miut that he, the Shomer, doesn't have to compensate for the Geneva of Aveda, but you don't have to pay him. Ad kedekach. When it says, how can you limp shot that in the Braisa? When the Braisa spoke about someone who's getting paid only for the day, and he was not hired for Shabbos. So what is the Braisa telling you? That you don't have to pay him for Shabbos? Of course not. He wasn't paid for that day. It doesn't work. Because umi islay schar Shabbos. Does he have a schar Shabbos to begin with? Doesn't make sense. There, it only makes sense that the question is whether he has to compensate or not. So the Braisa says, if he wasn't paid for that day, he doesn't have to compensate. It doesn't make sense to say that if he wasn't paid for that day, then he doesn't lose his schar, or he loses, he's not paid, he's not hired. So Ishtuk, so Rabbi didn't have an answer. That's the stira that Rabbi Yosef Bar Chama asked him. So Amar Lei, so Rabbi asked Rabbi Yosef Bar Chama, Midashim Yalach Baha, maybe you heard the answer. Amar Lei, so he said, Hachi Yomar Av Sheishes, that this Braisa must be speaking out Bishakana Miyadai. Meaning that even though we had Miyutim, Shtarois, Karkois, I'm going out of this. Avodim shtaris kakaris and agdeshis. That a shomer socher is not chayif to pay. If the shomer socher undertook an obligation with the kinyan would be a kinyan sudr. That means the gizber gives him a sudr, and in exchange he's saying, if I mess up, Geneva Aveda, I'm chayif to pay. Then that's not what the Torah was mamait. The chinam Rabbi Yechanon, that the case over there must be mishakana miyadoi. Going back to the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Rab Shimon Omer, kachim shechayv b'achriyusan yesh lamano. It's only v'she'ena chayv b'achriyusan, only then does Rab Shimon admit, because of the miyut, that ein lahem din oina'a. Right, that's clearly in Bahar, the pasuk was, al toinu ish es achiv. But the Hegdish, there's no Isra of Aina'ah. We're speaking about a sixth. So Tani Tanaka made Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Abba. So this Tana, again, Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Abba is an Amoira. That's the simple klal. Whenever a Tana is speaking to Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Abba, yeah, these were tzaddikim, they spoke to Tanoim, but in the Gemara it means that there was an Amoira that had all of the braises in his brain. And every yeshiva had such a Tana. So he was an Amoira that kept on reviewing braises, and he said in front of Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Abba the following braisa. Kochim shechayiv b'achri yusan. He was speaking about the din of Shvuos HaPikadon. Let's make a chazor on that. What Shvuos HaPikadon? At the end of Parshas Vayikra, the Torah gives five examples. One of them is of a shomer, that if a shomer wrongfully denies that he's holding onto something, and he takes an oath, and then he's made that he he was withholding money wrongfully, so he's chayif to pay the keren and a chaymish and to bring a asham gezelois. Now the question is, what happens if there was a shomer that was asked to guard kachim, but kachim shechayif b'achrayis, meaning that I said harei olai to bring a carbon shlamim, and I designated the carbon, and then I asked my friend, do me a favor, you'll be my shomer, shomer chinam, shomer sachar, guard this animal for me. And then I asked that person for the animal back, and he denied, he swore, and he admitted. The question is, does that person have to bring a carbon asham, it's called asham gezelois? Why not? Because the pasuk there says, v'kicheish ba'amisoi, that he committed an act of treachery against his friend and out of Hegdish. So says Rab Shimon, it says the Braisa, Kachim Shchai Bachri Yusan, even though he swore regarding Kachim, but it's consistent with our Mishnah, according to Rab Shimon. Since the owner, what happens when he said he never had the animal? The owner has to separate another one. So his denial was going to cause the owner a loss of money. So now that he's Maida, forget about the fact that he gives the animal back. He also has to bring a carbon asham gezelois. Shani kara bahen, because I can read in the words, the pasuk there begins that nefesh kisechto molamal bahashem v'kichesh ba'amisoi. In other words, if a person commits treachery against God, now against God is difficult because we're saying dafka that the whole parsha is only when the treachery was against a fellow. It says bahashem, but then it says v'kichesh ba'amisoi. You know, he falsely swears against his friend. Because when this kachim shechai b'achri yusan, you have both the bashem and you have the vekichesh. However, v'she'en echai b'achri yusan, but if the shomer is watching an animal of kachim that the owner to begin with never said harei olai, he only said harei zu, which means that when that shomer denied that he has it, the owner wouldn't lose anything. Over there, pater. There, the owner, the shomer who's doing tshuva now, doesn't bring a carbon asham gezelos. Why? She'ani koyda b'hem ba'amisa v'kichesh. Because there you read that the shomer was falsely swearing against his friend, and that mamash doesn't work. The braisa should have said, why is he pater? Because there is no ba'amisa there. Because there is. Because since it's only since he's not chay b'achrayis, so when he lied, who will be the only loser? Hashem. The parsha of Hashem Gezelois is only when it was Vekichesh Ba'amisoi. But the Braisa Mamash says opposite words. He's Pater because I read the words Vekichesh Ba'amisoi. Ba'amisoi Vekichesh. So Amalei, so Rabbi Yitzchak tells this Tana, hold on, what are you saying? Klap Alaya, you're going in the opposite direction. Daf Nun Chesom Ed Beis. Ibcham Estabro. In other words, the din I accept, but the reason is the opposite. So Amalei, the Tana Taka didn't make sense, these words. So he asked Rabbi Yitzchak, Isamye, should I delete this Braisa? Delete it from my memory? Not chazer it anymore? Amalei, no, Lord, don't delete it. Hachik Amar, this is the way you have to understand Pshat and the Braisa. Kochim Shechai Bachar Yusan. There, if the Shomer denies and then does tshuva, he denies and swears and does tshuva, he's chayv to bring a korban Hashem gezelois. The Israbu mi Bahashem v'kichesh. In other words, even though he denied something that didn't belong only to Amisai, it belonged to God. But since the owner is chayv bachrayis, adarab, it fits perfectly. Hashem over there in Vayikra uses the words that he did a sin against God, and he swore falsely. So it's a mamish the parsha. So he's taka chayv Hashem gezelos. If the, I said this animal is harei zu shlamim, and I gave it to a shomer, and the shomer now, I'm going away for a vacation. I come back 2 days later, I tell the shomer, give me back my animal, I want to go to the Beis HaMikdash. He says, yeah, l'hadam. And he swears. At this moment, who's the loser? Think about it. I don't have my animal back. I never, he was a shomer sacher. Doesn't make a difference really here. The owner, I never said harei olai to bring a shlamim. I only said on a dova harei zu. If I lose this animal, I don't have to do anything. That's called ein chai bachrayis. In other words, when there's ein chai bachrayis, the only loser is Hashem, so to say. The sin is against Hashem. It's the opposite. Otazoi. So here, if this chai bachrayis, even though the sin was also against Bashem, but it was also against Amisoi, so he's chayv in Hashem Gezeles. But the Shein Chayv Achrayis, he's potter. Why is he potter? Because the imut, because it's excluded from that whole parsha. That parsha speaks about Ba'amisoi v'kichesh, that he wronged his fellow. If the owner only gave an adava, if the owner is not chayv in Achrayis, before he did tshuva, he didn't do anything wrong against his fellow. He only sinned against God. If you sin, if you withhold money from God, there are other dinim. There's me'ila, if it's shayach, but the din of Asham Gezelois doesn't apply to this case.
The same halacha with Chomesh?
Yes. Continues the Gemara referring back to the Mishnah. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, after the Mishnah spoke out, Avodim, Shtoris, Karkois, and Egdeshois, Rabbi Yehuda added other scenarios for which there is no din of Einah, that af ha-mecher sefer toiram, or if a person sold a margolis, a jewel, or if a person sells an animal. By the way, look inside the Mishnah, and you'll see that the seder of these three in the Tana, Rabbi Yehuda, in the Mishnah is not the same. Lohair, I think in the Mishnah was sefer toira, right? Behema, and margolis. Okay, lohair. Back, ein lamay no. So Tanya says the Gemara, we learned in a braisa, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, afa mechar sefer Torah, ein lamay no. Why? Here gives a reason. Lefi she'ein keitz l'demeh, there's no limit to the value of a sefer Torah. Now what becomes clear from here is that there is no din of ayna only if the sefer overcharged. Because Rabbi Yehuda holds, you overpaid? Ach, when you paid me 50, the sefer Torah is worth 100. The sefer Torah is worth 1,000,000. But the opposite, he wouldn't say that. In other words, if the buyer underpaid, then even Rabbi Yehuda would be mighty, there's a din of ayna. The moment it hits a sixth, he can...
Because there is a minimum price.
There is a minimum price. It's just that the Sefer Torah, you can't put an upper value. Behema, Umar Golis, what was the logic of Rabbi Yehuda in Lamayna? Says Rabbi Yehuda, Mepnei, She'odam roitzel lezavgon, that it's common that people want to match their animal with another one that they already have. Let's say I have an ox. I want to plow my field. The ox that I own is a starka ox. I have other oxen, but they're weak. If I'm going to harness the strong ox with the weak ox, what will it do? It's going to make my hard ox work too hard. He'll die. So I need to find another gesunta ox. So when I buy your ox and you overcharged me, why is there no din of oina? Because I wasn't overcharged. For me, this animal is taka worth the sixth more. Or if I have a piece of jewelry, I have a beautiful setting, and two diamonds in there. I only have one diamond. I'm missing the other diamond. So when I'm getting the second one, since it's matching something that I already have, for me it's very valuable. So Amru Loi, so the Chachamim tells Rabbi Yehuda, if that is a logic, with the Sefer Torah, the Braisa doesn't quote their counter, but by Behemoth, by Margolis, v'haloi ha'koil You can say that by anything. How do you know if a person buys a plate and they paid a sixth more? Maybe they paid a plate because they had a set of 12, one cracked. So for them, that last one is to make up a set. You can use that logic for anything. What's Dafka the Behema and Margolis? But Rabbi Yehuda counters, Hani Chashivei, Vahani Loi Chashivilei, that no, a Behema, Dafka, and or a jewelry Dafka, since to begin with their Chashiv, that's when a person says that for me it's not called overcharging because for me it's worth it. By anything other, even if it's Lezavgan, it's not Chashiv enough for me to pay the sixth extra. Now, Va'at Kamo, can go to this case of Behema, Sefer Torah, in the Seder here, Margolis and Behema, and it can go to the four dinim of the Mishnah. And clearly, it doesn't go on Hegdish in the Mishnah, as we learned in Shmuel. But let's go to Rabbi Yehuda, that Amar HaMeimer at Kedei Demeim, until double. Once you hit more than double, that's Behema, Sefer Torah Vekelim, the Sfaras that we gave, only goes until double the value. Tanya, we learned, Rabbi Yehuda ben Maaseh Omer, Af HaMoicher Sus, if a person sells a horse, or a Sayef, a Shverd, a sword, or Chatitus, or a shield, Chatitum, a shield, Bamulchama, during the war, also Ein Lamayna. You know why? During a war, a soldier needs a sword. Any money is that valuable. Mipnei Sheesh Rehem Chaya Nefesh. Now again, do we say only until half or until not? I don't know. But let's finish the sugya, starting the new Mishnah. Now we're starting a very important sugya, the sugya of Oina'as Devarim. The word Oina'a, we interpreted until now, price fraud. The literal translation of Oina'a is, I'm not allowed to wrong. If it's monetary wronging, pshat is, I overcharged you, or you underpaid me. Oina'as Mamain. Oinoas Dvara means to say words to someone else that hurts them, says the Mishnah. Kshem, Shainah, Bemeka, Chomimkar, just like you have the din of wronging someone else when you're buying or when you're selling. Ka, Chainah, Bedvarim, there's wronging with words, which would mean, the Mishnah gives a few examples. Layemer, Loy, Kama, Bekama, Chefetzeh, I'm not allowed to go to a merchant and ask him, how much are you charging for that article? When? For who ain't the right Selikach? When I never planned to buy it. If I don't plan to buy something from you and I ask you how much it's worth, so a few things will happen that it's going to hurt you. Number one, I'm going to look at it and I'm going to put it back down and walk out. You won't know that I never intended to buy it. What are you going to think? That I'm not buying it because I think you're overcharging it. It's not worth that much. That alone is wronging, and by the way, that might even lead for you to lower the price. No, you can check prices if you're planning to buy it. If you're planning to buy it. Now today, Tavshin Ayin Zion, when people can go online, here there's no at all the reasons that the Rishonim gave that we just spoke out, because the merchant is going to see you putting it back down. See, if you put it back down and you would tell him, I never meant to buy it, it wouldn't be so bad. I don't mean to buy it, I'm looking. But if he doesn't know that, then it's hurtful for him. He's anguished. You know how it feels, whoever is in the world of business. I might have a sale. I don't have a sale. Online, I don't see what people are looking at. You're saying that maybe you do see what's... So you have to know, is to be medayik, all of the reasons of the Rishonim and how to apply it, l'shitasam, in the modern world. But this is the concept. Now, furthermore, the Mishnah gave an example that's less known. Don't ask a merchant how much it's worth when you don't plan to buy it. Now the following cases are more known, that Imhoya Bal Tshuva, if a person once was not keeping a certain mitzvah or certain mitzvahs, and now he is, no one should ever tell him, I remember who you really were. Or remember how you used to behave. That's called an Ozdvarim. And more than that, even if you're not reminding the person of their past actions, you're reminding them of their ancestry's past actions. For example, Imhoya ben Gerim. And even though the father of the Ger didn't have to keep the mitzvahs, but lo yomer lo, don't tell him, Zuchar Maase Avosecha, remember how your father behaved. Shenemar, as it says, the Ger lo yisoynev lo yisilchotzenu, don't wrong him and don't oppress him. We'll see later in our sugya that Rashi teaches Silchot Senu here, price fraud. In other words, that for a get, as we'll see later, there's a specific pasuk loy soina. Here it means verbal, and also don't defraud him by price. Tan Rabbanan says the Gemara. We learned in a braisa loy soinu ish es amisoi. This is very important in Parshas Bahar. In the pasuk that we quoted before, the pasuk there begins in the Sampedek chav hey and pasuk yudalid. The pasuk begins v'chisimkuru mimkar. That's one pasuk. We spoke about that in a few shiurim ago. But a few psukim later, in pasuk Yud Zayin, the Torah repeats a little bit differently. In pasuk Yud Dalet, it says, Al toinu ishas achiv. Don't wrong a man, his brother. Here in pasuk Yud Zayin, it says, Loi soinu, can don't wrong, ish es amisoi. We'll see soon, the amisoi means fellow. What's the nafkamina between Amisa and Achav, the Gemara will say. And then the Pasuk says, V'yoreisem alekecha, and fear God. Now these words, V'yoreisem alekecha, are not written in Pasuk Yudalit. In Pasuk Yud Zayin, it says, Loisoinu ishes amisoi, says the Braisa, this is Boinos Devarim HaKosav Adaber. This Pasuk Yud Zayin is speaking about Oinos Devarim. Says the Braisa, Kedarkoi of all the Braisas, Ato Oimer Boinos Devarim, Oi Einu Yelo Boinos Mamen. How do you know? Maybe this Pasuk is speaking about price fraud? So says the Braisa, no. That in that same Pedek, a few psukim ago, in Pasuk Yud Dalet, it already says, V'chisim kuru mimkar la misecho, ikon le miyada misecho. And the pasuk continues, Al toinu ish es achiv. So harei oinos mamin amur. Mani mekayim loisoinu ish es amisoi, boinos devarim. Continues the Braisa. So now that we established that this pasuk is specifically speaking about verbal wronging, ha keitzad, imhoye bal tshuvam, al yomer lo yizchor maasecha rishonim, imhoye ben gedim, al yomer lo yizchor maasecha avosecham. And here we have more examples that we did not have in the Mishnah. Imhoye ger, ubal umay toira, al yomer lo, don't tell a convert, Pesha achal nevelos utreifos, the same mouth that ate nevelos and treifos, and shkotzim and vermin and amasim and crawling animals. If I'm not mistaken, Rambam writes shkotzim are the creepers that are born from a zivuk, from a male and a female, and amasim are certain creatures that are born out of the fruits themselves. And they're both us. Midoy nice. So you ate it. Ba lil me teira. Shenemnim and piagvura. Are you going to learn teira that was said from the mouth of the Almighty? Or imho you yusurum by malav, if a person, God forbid, is undergoing suffering. Im or oy, we have on the side, oy imho you chaloim by malav, or if a person is, God forbid, undergoing an illness, or even worse, oy shayim ekaber as banav, if a person, God forbid, is bearing his children. Al yoyim loy, don't tell him kederach shomer loy chaver of liyuv, like Eliphaz and the other friends told Eiv when he was suffering, and at the end he was speaking strong words. Not favorably to Hashem, so they gave him a very strong musar. And he was suffering then. And they told him, Haloi yirazcha, kisla secha, Rashi teaches, that your fear of God should have given you your confidence. And it should have given you tikvascha, your hope. And it should have allowed you to be v'toim derachecha, to have integrity in your ways. Implying that you are lacking Yira Shamayim, which is why you're lacking confidence and hope, v'chulei. And then they told him, Zecharna, can you ever remember Mihun Naki? Was there ever a completely innocent person, that Avad, that was completely lost without a trace? There is no such a thing. So in other words, they were telling him is that if you are suffering, you earned it. That's called Einos Devarim. Never say these words to a person when they're suffering. Now, the Gemara says in Brachas, when a person is suffering, they themselves should make a din v'cheshmen. And Enachanami, as the Gemara says in Brachas, it could be it's suffering of Ahava. Yisurei Ahava. But before you come to Yisurei Ahava, make a din v'cheshmen. But that is something that I have to tell to me. But when I see another yit suffering, for me to say, well, if they're suffering, then they must deserve it. God, that's what Einos Devarim. Or, imhoy, another example that the Mishnah did not give. Imhoy, chamar mevakshem tevuah mimenu. A chamar is a person who makes his business by transporting on his donkey's merchandise. So who is he looking for? He's looking for merchants. Who is selling tevuah that might need me to schlep his tevuah from here to there? Lo yomer lahem, luchwe tzer pleini, shehu meicher tevuah. Ah, you can find business over there. sending a person that way when they know the yadeh by shalei machar ma'olam. So Rabbi Yechidah Noemer, Rabbi Yechidah says another example. One second. If we're learning a braisa, then it can't be Rabbi Yechidah, right? We're learning a braisa. It's all part of the Tanah Rabbanan. So let's go with Rabbi Yeshua. Oimer af loy yitle einov al hamekach. Mamish like our Mishnah, don't put your eyes on merchandise. It's not only like the Mishnah, you're asking him for the price. Don't start going in front of the merchant. You're looking, you're eyeing his merchandise. Bishasha ein lignomim, when you don't have money to pay for it. Now, some of the examples the Braisa gave, whether it is oinos devarim or not, completely depends on the kavana. I mean, if I'm going window shopping, maybe I am planning to. First of all, window shopping is lav dafka included. Again, you have to know the rishonim over here. But if I go into your shop and I start eyeing your merchandise, maybe I do have in mind, maybe not to buy it now, maybe I'll buy it in a month. No one knows whether I'm doing oinos devarim. Only God Almighty. If I'm sending you, that person might have a job for you. Maybe I take a thought that he does have a job. These are sins that only Hashem knows what's in the heart of a man. Shaharei hadavar masul alev, and rechol masul alev, nemar boy v'yoreisim elikechom, which is gavalik. So the Braisa started out by asking, how do I know that the pasuk loisoinu ish esamisoi is by noas devarim? So before the Braisa answered, because oinos mamin we had in the beginning. Now we're giving another reason, because dafka this pasuk says v'yoreisim elikechom. In pasuk yudalid al toinu ish esachiv, it doesn't say v'yoreisim elikechom. V'yoreisim elikechom is only said when it's a davar hamasul alev. Now, says Rabbi Yechanan, in the name of Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, Godol Oinoas Devarim, that I want you to know that verbal wronging, Oinoas Devarim, is worse than Oinoas Mamon. Shezeh Nemar Boy, because here it says, V'reisim Alikecha. The very fact that it says, be fearful of God, makes it a graver sin. V'zeh Loi Nemar Boy, V'reisim Alikecha. And as the Marsha speaks out, that just like we find that a Ganef is worse than a Gazlan. Why is a Ganef worse than a Gazlan? And that the punishment of a ganav is kefil. Because a ganav is saying that I'm afraid of other people. From God I'm not afraid. A gazlin, kavayachal, he taka is straight on stealing, robbing. He's not afraid of God. At least he's not afraid of man more than God. So something that's masr lalev is a person who's not afraid of God, but he's doing it in a way that no one notices that they're sinning. It's like a ganav. It's a worse sin. If a person is doing oinos mamon, everyone knows that he defrauded. He's not afraid of people, and he's not afraid of God. It's lesser of a problem. Rabbi Elazar Omer, another reason why oinos devarim is worse than oinos mamon, zeh begufay, v'zeh b'mo'aynay. You know, a wound, an emotional wound, doesn't heal as quick as a financial wound. Money can be corrected. Rabbi Shmuel ben Achmeni Omer, no, begufay b'mo'aynay, before correction. Simply by the fact that this hurts your body and that hurts your money, the body is worse. Rabbi Shmuel ben Achmeni says, "Zeh, if it's money, is nitan lihishavin, can be returned." Another reason why it's not so serious. V'zeh l'nitan lihishavin. Tana kamed Rabbi Nachman Rabbi Yitzchak. The same Tana, the Amora is learning the following braisa. Kol hamalbin. Now we're going to see in our Gemara why a shaming is called malbin. We'll see from our Gemara. Malbin is from the word lavan, making white, as we'll see in a moment. If anyone ashames his fellow in public, it's as if he killed him. Amalei, Rav Nachman heard this braisa. He told that Amora, oh, gavaldik, shaper ko amrat, this braisa, he looks good. Because the chazina alei, we see the azal sumka, that all of the color red leaves the person's face, and it becomes white. Now Tosfos speaks out that, one second, we know that when someone gets ashamed, they turn red. Not they turn white. The azal sumka, the azal chivra, zok Tosfos, so mashem adam betchila, the fact that someone's face turns red initially, lefisha hadamim misasfim levroyach, first the blood gathers in the face, the taka become red, but then all of the blood drains from the face. That's the malbin. You make them white. And that's kilo shayfech damim. Atke dekach, that we learned this last time, I think it was in Saita, the Tosfos asks, or maybe in Yevamis, that why do we have the three avedas for which a person has to be moisa nefesh, right? Shvichas damim, gilarois, and avedah zarah. Why not malbin p'nei chavar harab? So Tosfos answers that that's included, Take, in shvichas damim. It's called abazrayu, the shvichas damim. Amalei Abaya le Rabdimi b'marov amai zihiri. Abaya asked Rabdimi in Eretz Yisrael, what is their mitzvah, their negative mitzvah that they're very careful about? So Amalei ba'achavurei ape, they were very careful never to embarrass another person. Because the Amar Abchanina, hakoil yordim legehenim, everyone goes to Gehenim, a side of three people. So right away before we continue, the Gemara makes a correction, hakoil. Salka daitach, everyone goes to Gehenim. Can't be. Elo Ema, no. What Rab Chanina was saying is that kol hayordim legehenim, that even if a person has to go into Gehenim, they right away get out. And the fires don't really hurt them. Chutz mishleisha, aside of the following three, that sheyordim ve'ein oilim, and not, God forbid, ve'ein oilim, forever, but they go there and they stay there for a while. You know, these, the following three, you take a go into Gehenim and you stay there. Ve'elohein, haba alei sheshish. If a man has a relation with someone else's wife, or if someone ashames, he makes his friend's face loven in public, or someone who uses a derogatory nickname to call his fellow, asks the Gemara, one second, if I am calling someone else, God forbid, with a derogatory nickname, so that's Hamalbin. That's just an example of Hamalbin. Mechana Hainu Malbin answers the Gemara, no, that Afal Gav the Dosh Baby Shmei, even if this nickname is given to him continuously, and he doesn't get red and white, he's used to it, but it's a derogatory nickname. This is, that's the Chiddush, that's also considered a shaming someone else in public, and never use a name that has a non-positive meaning, calling someone else's friend. These are the three Avedas from which a person does not leave Gehenim as quick as others. And Emir Tzashem, a very important continuation tomorrow.